he said. Fat Man came out of hyperspace in the Kravos system. Zerid immediately engaged the ion engines and flew the freighter into the system's suit. Debris from a partially dispersed accretion disk around the system's star filled the black with ionized gas and debris. Some fluke of solar system evolution had resulted in an orange gas giant forming a few hundred thousand kilos outside the far border of the disk. Zerid wheeled Fat Man through the swirl, deftly dodging asteroids and smaller particles. He maneuvered the ship to the end of the disk and maintained his position, though it taxed his piloting skill.
"Now what?"
Aaron asked.
"We wait. And when an Imperial convoy heading to Coruscant comes through, we roll the dice."
"How will we know it's heading for Coruscant?"
"We won't know, strictly speaking. But Imperial Navy regs call for a convoy heading to an occupied world to have an escort of at least 3 frigates. If we see that, it's probably heading to Coruscant."
"And if we don't see that?" Zerid preferred not to think about it.
"We will."
"What if you're wrong? What if the convoy isn't heading to Coruscant?"
"Then it'll jump where it's jumping, and we'll jump to Coruscant, bare naked and within range of an Imperial fleet. You're not the modest sort, are you?"
He tried to convey with his grin a confidence he did not feel. She only shook her head and stared out at the gas giant. They waited. A medical transport came through, and Zerid ignored it. A single cruiser came through later, and still they waited. After several hours, Zerid's instrument showed another hyperspace distortion. A convoy appeared. 3 supply super freighters and 4 frigates, bristling with weapons.
"That's our ride," he said. "You ready?"
"I'm ready," she said. The lift doors opened to reveal a short corridor that led to the double doors of the cruiser's bridge. A pair of armored soldiers stood near the lift, awaiting Vrath's arrival. 2 more stood down the corridor before the bridge doors. The 3 troopers who had escorted Vrath to the lift handed him off to those in the hall.
"He's dangerous," the sergeant said. "Watch him."
"Yes, sir,"
said the 2 troopers in the corridor, their expressions unreadable behind their helmets. They flanked Vrath but did not touch him as they led him to the bridge. The double doors opened to reveal the dimly lit, multi-leveled oval chamber of the cruiser's bridge. A score of naval officers, all human, sat at their posts, hovered over their comp screens. A huge view screen to the left provided a magnified view of Coruscant and the surrounding space. The hum of low, curt conversation and the thrum of electronics filled the air. A swivel-mounted command chair sat on the center of the bridge on a raised platform. Commander Jard stood beside it, one hand on its armrest, conferring with the man who sat in it. Jard glanced at Vrath and spoke to the man, whom Vrath assumed to be Darth Malgus. He activated his audio implant to hear the exchange.
"My lord,"
Jard said,
"the prisoner I spoke of is here."
Malgus turned his eyes to Vrath, and whatever smugness Vrath had felt over showing up some troopers sank under the weight of that gaze. Malgus rose and strode across the bridge toward Vrath. He stood well over 2 meters, and the black cape he wore looked like a pavilion tent. He never took his eyes from Vrath's face as he approached. Scars lined his face, and a network of blue veins made a patchwork of his bald pate. He was so pale, he could have been a corpse, a walking dead. The small respirator he wore hid his mouth and lips, but it was his eyes that cowed Vrath. Malgus was all eyes. The sum of him, of his power, radiated outward from his bloodshot gaze. He dismissed the guards who flanked Vrath, and with a gesture, used the force to pry open the binders on Vrath's wrists. They fell to the floor of the bridge with a dull clang.
"You mentioned a Jedi to Commander Jard."
His voice, deep and rough, sounded like stones grinding together.
I did, my lord.
Malgus's mere presence pulled the last words out of him.
Explain.
Wrath found it more difficult than he would have imagined to compose his thoughts.
Freighter is en route to Coruscant. A Jedi is aboard.
Just one?
As far as I know, just one. Yes.
Wrath said, nodding.
A woman. Human. Mid-30s, I'd say. Long, light brown hair. She's flying with a man named Zerid Kor. As far as I know, they are the only crew.
How do you know this woman is a Jedi?
Wrath was starting to feel cold. He had to work to keep his voice steady.
I saw her using a green lightsaber. I saw her do things with the Force.
He held up his hands to show Malgus his wrists, still red from the binders Malgus had unlocked.
Things like this.
Malgus eased half a step closer to Wrath, and Wrath felt decidedly overwhelmed.
Tell me then, Wrath Zizor, what else is aboard this ship, and why and when is it coming to Coruscant?
Wrath bumped up against the doors behind him. He considered lying, but did not think he could pull it off.
Engspice, my lord. The ship is carrying Engspice.
He saw connections being made, conclusions being drawn, and more questions forming in the deep wells of Malgus's eyes.
This Zerid Kor is a spice runner?
He is.
Why would a Jedi associate with a spice runner, Wrath Zizor?
I don't know, my lord.
And you?
Malgus loomed over him, all dark eyes, all dark armor, all dark power.
Are you a spice runner? A business rival, maybe?
The lie exited his mouth before wisdom could stop it.
No. No, I am a former Imperial. A sniper. I'm just doing my part for the Empire, my lord.
Malgus inhaled deeply, exhaled. The mechanical sound heavy with disappointment.
You are a poor liar. You are a rival spice runner, or a killer in service to one of the syndicates that runs spice.
Wrath dared not deny it. He stood there, frozen, pinioned by Malgus's eyes.
When is this freighter due to arrive? And how do they plan to get through the blockade?
Wrath found his mouth was dry. He cleared his throat.
They are coming soon. Today, they must.
Because of the Engspice.
Wrath could not meet Malgus's eyes.
Yes. I don't know how they intend to get through, but I know they will try.
Malgus stared at him for a long second that felt like an eternity to Wrath.
You will remain on the bridge, Wrath Zizor. If this freighter and the Jedi it carries show up, I will overlook your illegal flight into restricted space. Perhaps I will even compensate you for your service. But if the ship doesn't show, then I will devise a suitable punishment for a spice runner found in restricted space. Does that seem to you unreasonable?
Wrath choked on his response.
No, my lord.
Excellent.
Malgus turned from Wrath, and Wrath felt as though the air had become easier to breathe. Malgus took a seat in his command chair and spoke to Commander Jard.
Commander, intensify all scanning until further notice. Any unusual readings are to be reported to me. And dispatch a squad of fighters to put eyes on all incoming ships.
Most of the fighter fleet is otherwise assigned, my lord.
Use shuttles, then.
Yes, my lord, answered Jard.
Wrath stared at the cruiser's viewscreen, hoping that Zirid had not scratched the run for some reason. Or, just as bad, that Zirid had somehow beaten him to Coruscant and already snuck through the blockade. He had never before felt so vulnerable.
We have to jump right on their heels, Aaron.
Aaron did not bother to respond. She dwelled in the Force, floated in and on the warm network of lines that connected all things, one to another. Her consciousness expanded to see and feel everything near her. She focused on her perception of the passage of time, first on how it felt as she moved through it, then on spreading it, stretching it, until she could linger in a millisecond, as if it were a moment, then a minute. To Zirid, it would appear that she were a blur of motion, existing simultaneously in multiple places. To her, it felt as if the universe around her had stilled. She smiled, seeing the moments that hung before her. Each millisecond, a long moment in which she could think, in which she could act. The effort taxed her, and she knew she could not maintain it for long.
Watch the scanner, Zirid said,
his words a lifetime in the utterance. She did not watch the scanner. Her body could respond faster than any machine. Instead, she watched the view screen. The Imperial ships had finished their hydrogen skim and now maneuvered into a formation suitable for a hyperspace jump. The supply ships within the ring of the frigate escort. She tensed.
They're forming up,
Zirid said. The waves of his tension crashed against her, but she damned them off, did not allow them to disrupt her focus. She watched, waited. As one, the Imperial ships began to stretch in her perception. For a nanosecond, all of them seemed to stretch to infinity, their rear engines 100,000 kilometers off Fatman's bow, their forms reaching across and through an incomprehensible distance. She knew it was illusion, that it was a trick of her perception caused by the moment they entered hyperspace, seeming to freeze before her eyes. She engaged Fat Man's hyperdrive, and the black night of space turned blue.
Now, Aaron, now!
Zirid said, but he was far too late. They were already gone. She remained immersed in the Force as Fat Man surged through hyperspace. The ordinary maddening churn slowed to a crawl of spirals and whorls. The script of the universe writ large in characters of blue, turquoise, midnight, and lavender. She fancied there might be meaning in the lines, an important revelation that hung before her, just beyond the reach of her consciousness. She lost track of the slow passage of time. Zirid spoke to her from time to time, but his words bounced off her perception, ricocheted without her comprehension. In time, something he said penetrated her understanding.
Coming out, Aaron. Be ready.
She watched Zirid, moving in slow motion, pull back on the lever that engaged the hyperdrive. She readied herself, and the moment the blue of hyperspace started to fade into black, she pushed a series of buttons and switches that turned Batman cold, except the life support thrusters and the small amount of power they'd need to create an electromagnetic bond. The blue disappeared in favor of the midnight of space, and she returned to normal perception.
Engaging thrusters, Zirid said. Well done, Aaron.
Sweat soaked her robes, pasted them to her body. She felt as if she had not slept in days.
Now it gets fun, Zirid said.
The trailing freighter in the convoy, 5 times the size of Fat Man, flew right before them. They had jumped out within the ring of frigates and gone cold so fast the frigates would not have perceived their arrival. They were directly under one of the freighters, 1 kilometer beneath its underside, maybe less. In the distance, the metal and Duracrete sphere of Coruscant floated in space. The rest of the convoy spread out before them. The trailing freighter's ion engines fired, and it started to head out.
Not so fast, Zirid said.
He punched the thrusters, and Fat Man lurched toward the freighter until its underside filled their field of vision. It started to pull away. Zirid hit the thrusters again.
There it is,
he said, closing on the freighter's cargo bay. His hands flew over the instrument panel, using one thruster and then another to angle the ship, finally flipping Fat Man over so that her flat ventral side faced a flat spot on the Imperial freighter. As they closed, Zirid flipped a switch, using Fat Man's deflector array to form an electromagnetic field. He killed the thrusters, and they coasted in.
Brace,
he said. Fat Man closed a few hundred meters more, and then the electromagnetic field did the rest, pulling them tight against the Imperial ship. Aaron felt barely a lurch.
As soft as a kiss,
Zirid said, and eased back in his seat. He looked over at Aaron, all grins, seemingly unsurprised by his success.
Let's take a ride.
Malgus felt a flash of discomfort. The irritating needle stab of a light side user. The feeling oddly similar to that which he had felt when he fought Master Zallo in the temple. The feeling lasted barely an instant and disappeared, leaving only a sensory ghost in its wake.
Are you all right, my lord?
Jard said. Malgus waved a hand dismissively. He sat in the command chair, and the view screen of Valor showed the distant silver and white triangles of an Imperial convoy just out of hyperspace.
Magnify the convoy,
he said, and the image grew large enough to see the ships. Blocky freighters, escorted by the much smaller, sleeker Navy frigates. He saw nothing out of the ordinary. Jard monitored incoming transmissions and ship's registries from the command lectern at which he stood. All appears in order, Toth Malgus. Malgus examined the convoy's details on his own command readout. They bore medical supplies, spare parts, and a contingent of Imperial soldiers. All perfectly ordinary.
They are requesting landing instructions, my lord.
Provide it to them. But have the shuttles put eyes on them.
We could delay them, my lord, if you think something is amiss.
No. Let's get those supplies on the ground so they can be distributed.
Yes, my lord.
Aaron and Zirid both hunched in their seats and said nothing, as if their silence within the cockpit would somehow assist Fat Man in passing through the blockade. Zirid radiated both apprehension and excitement. The angle at which Fat Man had connected to the freighter restricted their field of vision to 70 or 80 degrees. The system moved into and out of their view, one small slice at a time. The convoy was on an approach vector and moving at less than one half. Aaron could see the tail end of the starboard side of another freighter 15 kilometers away.
Can anyone see us?
She asked, her voice almost a whisper.
Not at that distance, Zirid said. We just look like part of the line of the ship. We'll cut loose during atmospheric entry. Their sensors will be blacked out, and we'll be gone before they're wise to us. I think we're gonna make it, Aaron.
She nodded. She thought so, too. Seconds slogged by, stretched into minutes.
We have to be getting close, Zirid said.
Motion near the tail end of the nearby freighter drew Aaron's eye. A small ship moved slowly around the freighter. Its tri-wing configuration told her it was an Imperial shuttle. She watched it for a time, unconcerned, until another came into view. This one cruising underneath the freighter.
What are those shuttles doing?
She asked. He frowned.
I have no idea.
They watched the shuttles move methodically along the length and breadth of the tail section of the freighter.
They're checking its exterior,
Aaron said. And she felt Zirid's level of apprehension rise as he realized the same thing.
Maybe it suffered damage in hyperspace,
Zirid said.
Could be they're just checking the one.
Could be,
Aaron said, and knew that neither of them believed it. Zirid cleared his throat, rubbed the back of his neck.
If we get seen, we either make a dash for the atmosphere and try to get lost under it, or we jump into hyperspace.
I need to get to the planet.
Zerid nodded.
Me too. It's unanimous then. We'll make a dash.
Malgus sat in his chair and watched his shuttle slide around the freighters, sandflies to banthas. None had reported seeing anything unusual. One of the junior officers on a scanner called Commander Jard to him. The two conferred briefly, and Jard returned to his command lectern near Malgus.
What is it?
Malgus asked. An anomalous reading from the Dromo, Jard said. An unusual magnetic signature. Malgus saw Vrath tense and lean toward them.
Halt them and send shuttles over.
My lord, it could just be an engine malfunction. Scanner noise.
Malgus thought not.
Do it, Commander.
Jard raised the Dromo on ship to ship.
Freighter Dromo, come to a full stop immediately.
He cut off the connection before Dromo's captain could protest, then dispatched the shuttles.
If there's anything to it, Jard said, we'll soon know.
Aaron and Zerid watched first one, then another shuttle peel away from the other vessel and start toward them. Zerid cursed as their freighter began to slow.
Are we stopping?
Aaron asked. Zerid nodded, licked his lips.
I think we go hot right now. I don't want a cold ship when they spot us.
If you fire up the engines, their scanners will pick us up.
They're going to see us anyway. Those shuttles are coming. Let's fire her up and make our run. You ready?
Aaron watched the shuttles close the gap between them. She nodded.
Ready.
Zerid pushed buttons and flipped switches. Fat Man came back to life. The communications officer spun in his chair.
Sir, secured communication from Darth Angrel. Shall I put it through?
What have the shuttles found?
Malgus asked Jard.
Not there yet, my lord.
Vrath turned his head sideways, as if he heard better out of one ear than another.
Anomalous reading just flared and vanished, the scan officer said.
Vanished?
Jard asked.
I'm getting something else, said the scan officer.
Darth Malgus, said the communication officer. Darth Angrel insists I put him through.
Put him through,
Malgus said irritably, and slapped the comm button. He put a wireless earpiece in his ear so Angrel's words would be heard only by him.
What is it, my lord?
Darth Angrel's smooth voice carried over the connection.
Malgus, how goes the patrol?
I am in the middle of something, Darth Angrel. I beg you to be brief.
Before Angrel could reply, the scan officer said,
Engines! Sir, I think there's a ship hiding in the Dromo's shadow.
That's it, Vrath said. That is them.
Alert the shuttles,
Jard said.
Now!
Engines ready to burn,
Zerid said. The shuttles, perhaps a kilometer or two away, either spotted them or got word of Fat Man's presence. One peeled left, the other right. Fat Man's thrusters pushed it off the freighter. Zerid engaged the ion drives, and Fat Man screamed through the space between the two shuttles. He throttled the freighter's engines to full and headed straight for the next nearest freighter. Aaron had flown with Zerid many times, but had forgotten what an instinctive flyer he was. He seemed to consult his instruments only rarely, instead relying on intuition, experience, and his own reflexes. A bit like force piloting without the force, she supposed. Fat Man twirled a spiral as it closed on the nearest freighter and pelted along its exterior.
Give me a hug,
Zerid muttered. Aaron gripped the armrest of her chair, expecting the red lines of the frigate's plasma cannons to light the sky at any moment. But no fire came. She checked the scanner.
No fighters yet either. What are they waiting on? She said.
Zerid ran Fat Man along the bulkhead of the freighter, close enough that Aaron felt as if she could have reached out and touched it. She imagined the crew of the Imperial freighter ducking low as Fat Man buzzed them.
Too much traffic,
and we're staying too close,
he said, whipping Fat Man over and past the bridge of the freighter.
They don't want to hit their own ships.
Jard's voice was tense with urgency.
That's a Corellian excess freighter, my lord.
Wrath nodded and pointed at the viewscreen.
That's the one I told you about, Darth Malgus. Shoot him down!
Malgus used a blast of power to throw Wrath against the far wall.
Shut your mouth!
Are you speaking to me?
Angrel asked in his earpiece. Malgus had forgotten about Angrel.
Of course not, my lord. Give me a moment, please.
He muted the earpiece and eyed the viewscreen. He could not shoot the freighter down in the midst of the convoy. Valor's armaments could inadvertently hit an Imperial ship. The frigates would be in the same situation. Their formation was designed to thwart attacks from outside the convoy, not attacks from within.
Keep the ship on screen. Pursue it full and order the rest of the convoy to get clear.
Yes, my lord,
Jard said, and made it happen. Valor's engines fired on full, and the cruiser lurched after the freighter. Wrath climbed to his feet, favoring his side. Possibilities played out in Malgus's mind. With the Jedi aboard, shooting the freighter down could undermine the peace negotiations. Of course, the mere fact that a Jedi was inbound to Coruscant arguably undermined the peace process already. Malgus stared at the viewscreen, watched the cruiser gain on the freighter. In moments, he would get a clear field of fire. The Empire needed war to thrive. He knew that. He needed war to thrive. He knew that, too. He had it within his power, possibly, to reignite the war. He saw Coruscant on the viewscreen beyond the freighter and imagined it in flames. The flashing light on his console reminded him that Darth Angrel was waiting.
Hail the freighter!
Jard looked puzzled.
I doubt they will answer.
Try, Commander.
Eren did not need to consult her scanner display to know that the ships of the convoy were peeling away to give the cruiser and frigates a clear field of fire. Zirid said nothing, merely handled the stick, worked the instrument panel, and occasionally consulted the scanner readout. Fatman banked hard right, jumped away from the near freighter, and covered the short gulf of empty space between it and the next. Zirid was frog-hopping along the convoy, all while trying to get Fatman closer to the planet. But the convoy was starting to break up. The freighters and frigates accelerated away from one another, and above them all loomed the enormous bulk of the Imperial cruiser, waiting for its chance.
I'm running out of ships, Eren. We have to make a run for the atmosphere.
Before them, the glowing orb of Coruscant's night side hung in the deep night of space. The sun crested behind the planet, and Coruscant's horizon line lit up like it was on fire.
Do it, she said. No, wait. They're hailing us. Hollow.
You're kidding.
Eren shook her head, and Zirid activated the small transmitter mounted in his instrument panel. A hologram of an Imperial bridge took shape. Crews sat at their stations, their images clear in the hollow's resolution. Two human men stood in the foreground. One, a thin redhead in the uniform of a naval officer. One, a towering, bulky figure of a man, who wore a heavy black cape, and whose eyes seemed to glow in the light of the bridge's instrumentation. The eyes studied Zirid with such intensity that it made him uncomfortable, even through the hollow. A respirator clung to the man's face, covering his mouth. His pale skin looked as gray as a corpse's.
Power down entirely,
said the tall man, his voice as raw as an open wound.
You have 5 seconds.
Eren leaned in close to see the hologram better. The man's eyes moved from Zirid to her, and even across the distance, he felt their power. She recognized him. He had fought in the Battle of Alderaan.
He is Sith, Eren said. Darth Malgus.
Motion behind Malgus caught Eren's eye. A third man, short, arms crossed across his chest.
She and Zirid almost bumped heads as they eyed the hollow. Aaron recognized him. So did Zirid, it seemed.
That's the man that ambushed us in the spaceport, Zirid said. Vrath Zizor.
He alerted them we were coming.
Zirid stared at the hollow, then leaned back, eyes wide.
Stang, Aaron. That's the same man I saw in Carson's Park on Volta.
Where?
He knows I have a daughter.
You have 2 seconds,
Malgus said. Zirid hit the transmit button.
To hell with you, Sith.
He cut off the transmission, unleashed a rain of expletives, and put Fat Man into a rapid spin that turned Aaron lightheaded and would make it as difficult as possible for targeted computers to lock on. Chapter 9. Malgus stared at the holotransmitter, now dark, on which he had communicated with the freighter. The freighter that had a Jedi aboard. Torn, he thought of Alina, of Lord Adras, of Angrel, of the flawed Empire that was taking shape before his eyes, and how it fell short of the Empire as it should be. An Empire congruent with the needs of the Force.
They will be clear of the convoy shortly, Commander Jard,
said Lieutenant Mack, the bridge weapons officer. Malgus watched the freighter dance among the now separating ships of the convoy, trying to hug what vessels it could as it skipped toward Coruscant. He thought he should shoot it down, and hope that the death of a Jedi over Coruscant would destroy the peace talks and restart the war. He should do it. He knew he should.
I think he's going to try to make the planet, Jard said. Why doesn't he just jump out?
Members of the bridge crew shook their heads at the pilot's foolishness. Were he wise, he would have jumped into hyperspace and fled.
His need to get to the planet outweighs the risk of his getting shot down,
Malgus said, intrigued.
All this for spice, Jard said.
Perhaps it is the Jedi's need that drives them.
Curious, Jard observed.
Agreed.
With difficulty, he let curiosity murder temptation.
Get close enough to use the tractor beam. There is more to this than mere spice running.
Yes, my lord.
Malgus tapped the earpiece and reopened the channel with Darth Angrel.
What is happening there?
Angrel asked, his tone perturbed. Malgus offered a half-truth.
A spice runner is trying to get through the blockade.
Ah, I see.
Angrel paused, then said,
I have received a communique from our delegation on Alderaan.
The mere mention of the delegation caused Malgus a flash of rage. A flash that almost caused him to reconsider his decision to capture rather than destroy the freighter. Angrel continued.
A member of the Jedi delegation has left Alderaan without filing a flight plan and without reporting her intent to her superiors. The Jedi have reason to believe that she may be heading to Coruscant. Her activities are unauthorized by the Jedi Council, and she is to be treated no differently from the spice runner you are pursuing now.
She?
Malgus asked, eyeing the freighter on the viewscreen, recalling the woman he had seen in the vidscreen.
This rogue Jedi is a woman?
A human woman, yes. Eren Lanier. Her actions, whatever they may be, are not to be attributed to the Jedi Council or the Republic. The Emperor wants nothing to affect the ongoing negotiations. Do you understand, Darth Malgus?
Malgus understood all too well.
The Jedi delegation told Lord Barriss of this rogue Jedi. They sacrificed one of their own to ensure that the negotiations continued smoothly?
Master Darnala herself, as I understand it.
Malgus shook his head in disgust. He felt a tiny hint of sympathy for Erin Lanier. Like him, she had been betrayed by those she believed in and served. Of course, what she believed in and served was heretical.
If this Jedi does attempt to reach Coruscant and she falls into your hands, you are to destroy her. Am I clear, Darth Malgus?
Yes, my lord.
The freighter broke free of the convoy into open space and flew an evasive path toward Coruscant. Perhaps the pilot thought to escape in the planet's atmosphere.
Engage the tractor beam, Commander Jard said,
and Malgus did not gainsay the order. He cut the connection with Angrel. He had disobeyed an order, taken the first step down a path he had never before trod. He still wasn't sure why. There was nothing between Fat Man and Coruscant but open space, and that meant fire would be incoming. Erin watched the distance to the planet's atmosphere shrink on her scanner. She sat hunched, braced against the plasma fire she knew must soon come. She thought they might make it until Fat Man lurched and lost half of its velocity, throwing Erin and Zirid forward in their seats.
What's that?
Erin said, checking the instrument panel.
Tractor beam,
Zirid said, and pushed down hard on the stick. Fat Man dived, her nose facing the planet, and Erin could see the night side of Coruscant, the lines of light from the urbanscape like glowing script on the otherwise dark surface. The ship was not accelerating. Alarms wailed, and Fat Man's engine screamed, battling with the tractor beam, but losing decisively. The cruiser started to reel them in. Cursing, Zirid cut off the engines, and Fat Man's reverse motion increased noticeably. Through the canopy, Erin watched the distant stars move past them in reverse. She imagined the cruiser's landing bay opening as they approached, a mouth that would chew them up. She cleared her mind, thought of Master Zallo, and readied herself to face the Sith Lord and whatever else she might find on the cruiser. She reached into her pocket, traced her fingers over the single stone she'd brought from Alderaan, the stone from the Nautilin calming bracelet Master Zallo had given her. The cool, smooth touch of it helped clear her mind.
I'm sorry, Zirid, she said.
I was coming anyway, Erin, and you didn't get me caught. I got you caught. And anyway, don't apologize yet.
His hands flew over the instrument panel.
No Imperial tractor beam is holding my ship. I have to get back to Volta. And my daughter.
He ratcheted up the power to the engines, though he didn't yet engage them. The ship vibrated as Zirid backed up the power and held it just before the exchange manifolds, a river of energy gathering behind a dam.
What are you going to do?
Erin asked, though she suspected she knew.
Shooting this cork out of the bottle,
he said, and diverted more power to the engines. He made as though he were shaking a bottle of soda water.
Get yourself strapped in, Erin. Not just the lap, all 5 points.
Erin did so.
You could tear the ship in half,
she said.
Or the engines might blow.
He nodded.
Or we might break loose. But for that to work, I need to get oblique to the pull at the correct moment.
He checked the scanner.
You're not so big,
he said to the cruiser. His even tone and steady hands did not surprise Erin. He seemed to thrive under stress. He'd have made a decent Jedi, she imagined. She checked the distance between the cruiser and Fat Man, the speed the beam was pulling them.
You have 5 seconds, she said.
I know.
4.
Do you believe that's helpful?
2.
He tapped another series of keys, and the engines whined so loudly they overwhelmed the alarm.
1 second,
she said. In her mind's eye, she imagined Fat Man snapping in two, imagined she and Zirid perishing in the vacuum, their dying sight pieces of Fat Man flaming like pyrotechnics as they cut a path through Coruscant's atmosphere.
And we go,
Zirid said. He twisted the stick leftward at the same moment that he released all of the pent-up power into the engines.
The sudden rush arrested the backward motion of the ship, and Fat Man bucked like an angry rancor. Metal creaked, screamed under the stress. Somewhere deep within the ship, something burst with a hiss. For a fraction of a second, the ship hung in space, perfectly still. Engines wailing, their power warring with the tractor beam's pull. And then, Fat Man tore loose and streaked free. The sudden acceleration pressed Aaron and Zirid into the back of their seats. Fire alarm sounded. Aaron checked the board. Fire's in the engine compartment, Zirid. He was talking to himself under his breath, handling the stick, watching the scanner, and might not have heard her.
He's right behind us, Zirid said.
Get into the atmosphere, she said. That cruiser has no maneuverability outside a vacuum. We can ditch somewhere, get lost in the sky traffic before they can dispatch a fighter.
Right,
he said, and slammed down on the stick. Fat Man dipped her nose, and Coruscant once more came into view, tantalizingly close. Smoke wafted into the cockpit from the rear, the smell of seared electronics.
Aaron?
I'm on it, she said, and started to unstrap herself.
Chemical extinguishers are in wall mounts in every corridor.
On the main screen, Malgus watched the freighter's engines flare blue. The ship shook loose of the tractor beam's noose and dived toward the planet like a blaster shot. A murmur went through the bridge crew.
Pursue, Helm,
Commander Jard said. The helmsman engaged the engines and accelerated after the freighter.
The tractor has failed, my lord,
Commander Jard said to Malgus, checking the command readout.
We will have it up again in moments.
Malgus watched the freighter open some distance between it and the cruiser, and made up his mind. He had crossed a line and started down a road when he had first engaged the tractor beam. But the time was not yet right to walk farther down that road. He could not afford to let the Jedi, Aaron Lanier, get to Coruscant, lest Angrel start to perceive motives in Malgus that Malgus would not yet acknowledge in himself.
No. They'll be in the atmosphere in a moment. Shoot them down.
Very good, my lord.
Jard looked to the weapons officer.
Weapons free, Lieutenant Mac.
Jard looked to Malgus.
Shall I alert the planetary fighter wing, my lord?
That shouldn't be necessary, provided Lieutenant Mac does his job.
Very good, my lord.
Red lines from Valor's plasma cannons filled the space between the ship. The fire so thick that the lines seemed to bleed together into a red flame. Aaron got halfway out of her seat when an explosion rocked the ship. Fat Man lurched, and Aaron fell to the floor.
Back in your seat, Zirid said. Weapons are hot on that cruiser.
Aaron climbed into her seat and got the lap strap on. The moment the buckle clicked into place, Zirid went evasive. Coruscant spun in the viewscreen as Fat Man spun, wheeled, and dived. The red lines of plasma fire lit up the black of space. Zirid went hard right, down, then left. The ship knifed into the atmosphere.
Divert everything but the engines and life support to the rear deflectors.
Aaron worked the instrument panel, doing as Zirid ordered. Another explosion rocked the ship.
The deflectors aren't going to take another one,
she said. Zirid nodded. The orange flames of atmospheric entry were visible through the canopy. Plasma bolts knifed over them, under, to the left. Zirid cut Fat Man to the right as they descended, risking a bad entry that could burn them up. The smoke in the cockpit thickened.
Masks?
Aaron asked, coughing.
There!
Zirid responded, nodding at a ship's locker between their seats. Aaron threw it open, grabbed two masks, tossed one to Zirid, and pulled the other one on herself.
You've got the stick,
Zirid said while he pulled on his mask. Aaron grabbed the co-pilot's stick and continued Fat Man's spiraling descent toward Coruscant. Fire from the cruiser hit the ship on the starboard side and caused the freighter to spin wildly. Aaron felt dizzy sick.
I have the stick,
Zirid said, his voice muffled by the mask. He got the spin under control and drove Fat Man almost vertically into the atmosphere. The cockpit grew hot. Flames engulfed the ship. They must have looked like a comet cutting through the sky.
too steep,
Aaron said.
I know,
Zirid said.
But we've got to get in.
The unrelenting fire from the cruiser struck the freighter again, the impact shoving them through the stratosphere. The flames diminished, vanished, and Coruscant was once more visible below them.
We're through,
Aaron said. Without warning, the engines died, and Fatman went limp in the air, spinning, falling, but with no power. Zirid cursed, slammed his hand against the instrument panel, trying frantically to refire them, but to no avail.
They can still hit us here,
he said, and unbuckled his belts.
I got nothing but thrusters. Get to the escape pod.
The cargo, Zirid.
He hesitated, finally shook his head and unbuckled her straps.
Forget the cargo. Move!
She stood, and another bolt hit Fatman. An explosion rocked the rear of the ship. Another! They were going down. Alarms wailed. The ship was burning, falling through the sky. Zirid hit the control panel to engage the thrusters and keep the ship in the air. For the moment, at least.
They are dead in the air, Lieutenant Mack announced. Drifting on thrusters.
Commander Jard looked to Malgus for the kill order. Vrath, too, looked on with interest. The freighter hung low over Coruscant's atmosphere. It limped along on thrusters, trailing flames from its dead ion engines. They could rope them back with the tractor.
Shoot them down,
Malgus ordered. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Vrath smile and cross his arms over his chest. Explosions in the rear of Fatman started to spread. The secondary explosions working their way forward in a series of dull booms. They would never make it to the escape pod. Aaron activated her lightsaber.
Grab hold of something!
What are you doing?
Getting us out.
What?
She did not bother to explain. Bracing herself and holding on to her seat strap, she stabbed her blade through the transparisteel of the cockpit canopy and opened the gash. The oxygen rushed out of the cockpit while the pressure equalized. Their masks allowed them to breathe, despite the thin atmosphere. The cold startled Aaron. She used her blade to cut a door out of the canopy. The thin air whipped by, whistling.
We're 50 kilometers up, Aaron,
Zirid said, his voice rising for the first time.
The velocity alone!
She grabbed him by the arm and gave him a shake to shut him up.
Don't let go of me, no matter what. Do you understand? No matter what.
His eyes were wide behind the lenses of his mask. He nodded. She did not hesitate. She sank into the force, cocooned them both in a protective sheath, and leapt out of the ship and into the open air. The wind and velocity tore them backward. They slammed into the ship's fuselage and whipped through the flames pouring out its sides. At almost the same moment, plasma fire from the cruiser above them hit Fatman dorsally, and the ship exploded into an expanding ball of flame.
The blast wave sent them careening crazily through the sky and set them to spinning like a pinwheel.
For an alarming moment, Aaron's vision blurred, and she feared she would lose consciousness. But she held on to awareness with both hands and fought through it. Zirid was shouting, but Aaron could not make it out. Her stomach crawled up her throat as they plummeted, spinning wildly toward the planet below. Her perspective alternated crazily from flaming pieces of Fatman to Coruscant below, to the sky above, and the distant silhouette of the Imperial cruiser to Fatman again. The motion was pulling the blood from her head. Sparks blinked before her eyes. She had to stop the spinning or she would pass out. She made her grip a vice around Zirid. Used the force, first to slow, then to stop the spin. They ended up hand in hand, passing through clouds, falling at terminal velocity toward Coruscant's surface. Malgus watched the freighter disintegrate into flaming debris over Coruscant. He expected the faint touch of the Jedi's force signature to disintegrate with it, but he felt it still.
Magnify,
he said, leaning forward in the command chair.
The image on the viewscreen grew larger. Chunks of jagged steel and a large portion of the forward section of the ship burned their way toward the surface.
Did an escape pod launch before the ship exploded?
No, my lord, Jard said. There were no survivors. But there had been. The Jedi, at least, had survived. He could still feel her presence, though it was fading with distance, a splinter in the skin of his perception. He considered dispatching fighters, a search party, but decided against it. He was not yet sure what he would do about the Jedi. But whatever it was, he would do it himself.
Very good, Commander Jard. Well done, Lieutenant Mack.
He turned to Vrath.
You are done here, Vrath Zizor.
Vrath shifted on his feet, swallowed, cleared his throat.
You mentioned the possibility of payment, my lord?
Mulgus credited him with bravery, if nothing else. Mulgus rose and walked over. He stood 20 centimeters taller than Vrath, but the smaller man held his ground and kept most of the fear from the slits of his eyes.
It is not enough that you've killed a rival and destroyed the Engspice your employer wished to prevent reaching the surface.
I did not...
Mulgus held up a gloved hand.
The petty squabbles of criminals hold little interest for me.
Vrath licked his lips, drew himself up straight.
I brought you a Jedi, my lord. That was her on the Hollow.
So you did.
Will I be paid then?
Mulgus regarded him coolly, and the small man seemed to withdraw into himself. The fear in his eyes expanded. The knowledge that he was a lone prey animal surrounded by predators.
I am a man of my word. You will be paid.
Vrath let out a long breath.
Thank you, my lord.
You may take your ship to the planet. The coordinates will be provided to you, and I will arrange for payment there.
And then I can leave?
Mulgus smiled under his respirator.
That is a different question.
Vrath took half a step back. He looked as if he had been slapped.
What does that mean? I will not be allowed to leave?
No unauthorized ships may leave Coruscant at this time. You will remain on the planet until things change.
But, my lord...
Or I can blow your ship from space the moment it leaves my landing bay.
Vrath swallowed hard.
Thank you, my lord.
Mulgus waved him away. Security escorted him from the bridge. After the chaos of the cockpit, the quiet of the fall seemed oddly incongruous. Erin heard only the rush of the wind, the steady thump of her heartbeat in her ears. Zirid's fear was a tangible thing to her, and it fell with them. She felt free, exhilarated, and the feeling surprised her. To the east, Coruscant's surface curved away from them, and the morning sun crept over the horizon line, bathing the planet in gold. The sight took her breath away. She shook Zirid's arm and nodded at the rising sun. He did not respond. His eyes stared straight down, iron to the magnet of the planet's surface. Erin allowed herself to enjoy the view for a few seconds before trying to save their lives. The drag increased as the thin air of the upper atmosphere gave way to the thicker, breathable air of the lower. Below them, Coruscant transformed from a brown and black ball, crisscrossed with seemingly random whorls of light, to a distinguishable geometry of well-lit cities, roads, skyways, quadrants, and blocks. She could make out tiny black forms moving against the urbanscape, the ants of air cars, speeders, and swoops, but far fewer than ordinary. Plumes of smoke traced twisting black lines into the air, Large areas of Galactic City lay in ruins, dark lesions on the skin of the planet. The Empire must have killed tens of thousands, more perhaps. The wind changed pitch, whistled past her ears. She fancied she heard whispers in it, the soul of the planet sharing its pain. Her clothing flapped audibly behind her. Below, she could distinguish more and more details of Coruscant's upper levels. The lines of skyscrapers, the geometry of plazas and parks, the orderly straight lines of roads. She let herself feel the descent and use the feeling to fall into the Force. Nestled in its power, she marshaled her strength. She pulled Zirid toward her. Unresisting, he felt as limp as a rag doll in her hands. She drew him to her, under her, wrapped her arms and legs around him.
"Ready yourself!"
she shouted in his ear.
"Not if you understand."
His head bobbed once, tense and rapid. The buildings below grew larger, more defined. They descended toward a large plaza, a flat trapezoid of duricrete with stratoscrapers anchoring each of its corners.
"I will slow us," she shouted. "But we will still hit with some force. I will release you before we hit. Try to roll with the impact."
He nodded again. She lowered her head, angled her body, and tried to use the wind resistance to create some slight motion forward rather than entirely downward. The ground rushed up to meet them. They passed through the ring of skyrises, plummeting past the roofs, windows, balconies. Given the hour, she doubted anyone saw their descent. She reached out with the Force, channeled power into a wide column beneath them. She conceptualized the power as somewhat similar to what she would use when augmenting a leap, except that instead of a sudden rush of power to drive her upward, she instead used the power in a gentler, passive fashion. She imagined it as a balloon, soft and yielding at first, but providing ever-increasing resistance as they fell farther into it. They slowed, and Zirid shifted in her grasp. Perhaps he did not believe it. Pressure built behind Eren's eyes. An ache formed in her head. The balloon of her power slowed them further. She could see benches in the plaza. A fountain. She could distinguish individual windows in the skyrises around them. They were 500 meters up and still falling fast. The pressure in her brain intensified. Her vision blurred. The ache in her head became a knife stab of pain. She screamed, but held on. Held on. 400 meters. 300. They slowed still more, and Eren feared she could not bear any more. 200. A second stretched into an eternity of pain and pressure. She thought she must burst.
"Hang on, Eren,"
Zirid said, his voice muffled by the mask. He was rigid in her arms.
50 meters. They were still going too fast. 20? 10?
She dug deep, pulled out what power she could, and expended it in a final shout, an expulsion of power that entirely arrested their descent for a moment. They hung in the air for a fraction of a second, suspended only by the invisible power of the Force and Eren's ability to use it. And then they were falling free. She released Zirid, and they both hit the duricrete feet first. The shock of impact sending jolts of pain up Eren's ankles and calves. She rode the momentum of the fall into a roll that knocked the wind from her and tore a divot of skin from her scalp. But she was alive. She lifted herself to all fours, every muscle screaming, legs quivering, blood dripping from her scalp. She tore off her mask.
"Zirid?"
"I'm all right," he answered. His voice as raw as old leather. "I can't believe it, but I'm all right."
She sagged back to the duricrete, rolled over onto her back, and stared up at dawn's light spreading across the sky. The long, thin clouds, painted with the light of daybreak, looked like veins of gold. She simply lay there, exhausted. Zirid crawled over to her, cursing with pain throughout. He peeled off his mask and lay on his back next to her.